Thank you for that beautiful prelude. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship on this Sunday morning. It is good to be with you. It is good to be with each other in this time of worship. I know that we do have a couple visitors with us, and for those of you who are visiting, a very warm, well, let me rephrase that, a very strong welcoming. And it is already warm without my words. We are pleased to have you with us at this time. I'm not sure if there are other people who are going to be making announcements, but I would like to make one little announcement. Okay, Jackie's on her way up, and while she's doing that, I will make an announcement that I've just been reminded that there are organically grown cucumbers at both places, in here and out there. Help yourself. They came out of the church garden. They come from holy ground. And organic, what better than that? But please help yourself. We have more cucumbers than we can possibly eat. Jackie?
Good morning. This coming Saturday, the 13th of August, the Service League will be having a summer fair. It's going to be held in the Jonathan Edwards Room. There's going to be a luncheon. It starts at 10 till 2. And what we are looking for, if you have wonderful vegetable gardens and you'd like to donate some cucumbers or whatever you have, we'd love to accept them. And also, if you are a baker that would like to bake some cookies, we're more asking for cookies and bars, something on the small line, rather than a big cake or anything. But all donations will be gratefully accepted, and we thank you, and we hope to see you there.
Are there other announcements? Not seeing any, I invite us now to begin our worship service with the intro.
Step boldly forward in faith through the storms that rage around us. Come before God's presence with singing, thanksgiving, and praise. All who call upon the holy name of God will be saved.
Let us call upon the name of Jesus in the presence of believers and unbelievers.
By the manner of our living, may those who thirst drink deep of the living waters, those who hunger be fed by the manna of the living word, those who seek find and be found, that all may be saved.
Even so.
Living word, you are near us. May we hear this word in the voices of all who sing your praises today. May we see this word in all the natural wonders that surround us. May we know this word through the reading and the telling. Move in our midst. This we pray, depending on guidance from you. Living word, Jesus, Savior. Amen. And now, hymn number 478, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you. Please be seated, except for the children. I invite them to come forward.
Come on up. We've got room for everybody. Hi, we're waiting.
Look at this. Woo. Boy, and you're running up here. That rarely happens for when I'm up here. Yeah, I'm glad you're running. Good morning, everybody. Oh, I have something back here I need to... I just cracked it. I hope that isn't going to do too much damage. I have something here, and I think everybody can figure out what that is. Who knows what that is? Pardon? A leaf. No, there. No, that's a bowl full of water. I know, he saw things earlier. That's a bowl full of water. I mean, it's just water. It's clean. I put it in there myself. But now, what do you like to do with water, especially at this time of year? Do you like to go swimming? Yeah. Do you like to go swimming? Oh, yeah, that's a lot of fun. There are many things you can do in water. Any of you walk on it? You walk on water, Irving? Oh. Irving, you need to preach. okay, well, I have some things here. I want to see. I brought some things with me. And I'm curious to see what will happen with them when I put them in the water. I have a big stone. And I'm going to see if that will. I'm going to put it. Do you think it will stay up top? Let's find out. I put it in the water. That fell right to the bottom. How about that? I guess rocks don't float, do they? Well, I know. Wait a minute. Maybe I could use smaller rock. Smaller rock, will you float? No. That one won't float either. Well, I don't know. What else do I have in here? I tell you what. I have something in my pocket. I know what will float. I know money. It should. Have you ever heard of floating alone? Why shouldn't this float? So let's hear. I'm going to start with the quarter. That ought to work. Here we go. Float quarter. Darn it. That sunk too. I'm not having much success here, am I? I'll try a penny. That's smaller. That'll float. That didn't float either. Well, what else do I have in here? Ah, Irving knows the next one. I have a leaf. You think a leaf will float? Okay, let's try it. I'm going to put that on there. Look at that. The leaf floats. And I have more here. I have some wood chips. Let's see if wood chips float. Well, look at that. Some things float and some things sink. Now, Irving, since you're the expert on walking on water, would you be able to walk in there without sinking? No. None of us can. I don't know anybody who can do that. We hear a story in the Bible that tells us that Jesus walked on water, and that's kind of an odd thing because I don't know anybody who could ever do that, at least honestly. We're told that that's kind of important, is to understand that. Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think that that is a wonderful story to hear, but that we're not water walkers like Jesus. Whoa, we better be careful there. We don't want to spill that. And some people get upset with me for making water all over the wood, okay? But not you, I know. But we have, we're not to be walking on water. And I think sometimes we maybe need to think more deeply about what we can do instead of what we can't do. And all of us can do good things. We can all be good. We can like each other. We can love each other. We can help each other. And we can care about people who are in our family in doubt. That we can do. And I think that's what Jesus wants us to do. Forget trying to walk on water. I think Jesus says, love each other. Okay, I'm telling you what. This is a real attraction here. And I'm going to put this back here. And so that's out of the way. And now, will you join me? And we're going to do the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to ask everybody in the congregation to join us, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Oh, I am so glad that you came up and you came running. I like that. You like it up here. There's lots of good stuff. See you later.
And now in your bulletin, it's wrong. We're going to do the epistle reading first, but it's Romans, not Matthew. So from Romans 10, 5 through 15. Excuse me. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The Lord is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so it is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on him in the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And here endeth this reading.
The gospel reading for today is from Matthew, being read from the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33. Hear these words. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Thus ends the reading of the scripture for this Sunday morning. May the words of my mouth amen. First, I would like to express gratefulness to Miles for his beautiful voice and your contribution to this worship service. We are grateful that you were here to do that for us. Thank you. We hope you come back because everybody enjoyed it. Sometimes there are titles of books that are, I think, more interesting than the contents. They say never judge a book by its cover, and that's perhaps why. Some years ago, there was a book printed for helping church growth, and being a person who is interested in church growth, and still am, I bought the book. I must confess that I no longer have that book, and I remember absolutely nothing about what the author wrote. But the title I maintained, and I still hold that title as one of my favorite of all titles that I have ever read. The title was, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. The passage of walking on water is not easily digested. I doubt that it's easily digested by anyone. Its significance seems to make Jesus into a magician more than into a Messiah or even Jesus the person. Walking on water does not seem to be a stimulus for people to become Christians, for people to become followers. I have not yet met the person who says, "I am a Christian because Jesus walked on water." If my ability to walk on water, which is non-existent, were part of the foundation of my Christian life, then my depth, no pun intended, as a Christian would be shallow and insignificant. It would be nice to have what it takes to walk on water, I think. Then my other brain, half of my brain says, but of what value would it be? I think it would be very entertaining. I think I could really attract crowds if I could do that, or if any of you could do it, we'd do the same thing. But if walking on water were the litmus test for faith, then there would probably be no church at all. I've not ever known anyone who has walked on water, not even people who I perceive as people with the strongest of faiths, the most dedicated of life to the Christian way, the most faithful people to God. I have not yet met a person in that category, any other, who has walked on water. In the earliest Palestinian church, this story is told differently. According to scholars, the early Palestinian church ended this story with a mystery, which said that the disciples were utterly astonished. That's how it ends. Within a few decades, the Gentile Hellenistic churches moved away from Judaism with the influence of the Roman gods, as because Roman gods were heroes, and they did hard-to-believe things and hard-to-believe actions. And at that time, this story became more in tune with the need for a divine hero. And the bottom line is that the account that we are given probably is not the way it really happened. Now, having said that, don't be too quick to dismiss this incredible story as either irrelevant or unimportant, for it is neither. There is something in this story that we cannot lose, because what it is about us. It is about the church. The only reason that I can believe that the church has survived through 2,000 years is nothing less than the hand and spirit of God. If it had not been for the hand and spirit of God, I doubt that the church would have survived. Because of the number of congregations that I have served over the years, both as interim and called pastor, I can say with complete confidence that it has been rare when a church has not been in some kind of trouble, turmoil, or mess. Most often, the church is spectacular, but it only happens for short periods of time. The church is spectacular in flashes, not long events. It seems that it is always in trouble in other times. Inevitably, there is a mess brewing, and eventually that mess can turn into a boil. I'll give you an example. I was once asked to become the pastor of a congregation in a community in Southern California. I visited, I preached, and I was extended the call. While I was there, I noticed that the congregation was 100% Caucasian, European Caucasian. That was fine, except for just one tiny little problem. The building that the church was in was in a 100% Hispanic Mexican neighborhood. When I asked people of the congregation about that, their response was flippant, ambiguous at best. I knew that there was going to be trouble ahead, but of course the trouble didn't frighten me. Trouble doesn't frighten me anymore. That which did cause me great concern was that they were completely ignoring their neighbors and the neighborhood that surrounded that building. I wrote a letter explaining that concern, and I explained that, in my opinion, they were not yet ready to call a pastor, at least not until they acknowledged among themselves the significant issue of their neighborhood and focus on becoming a church to the people that surrounded them, that saw them, that looked at them every day. It was a tough congregation for me to say no to, because in that congregation was my seminary homiletics professor. And after I thought a little bit about it, I thought, well, maybe I don't want to go there just for that reason. But it was an interesting congregation in that way. About a half a dozen years later, I learned that they never did deal with the neighborhood that was surrounding the building, and they ended up closing their doors. Now, there are other sides of that, too. I know of another congregation in another significant city in this nation that was about to face closing its doors. It was in a downtown area, and it was an affluent congregation, but it was trapped in a downtown location. And as a last effort, they said, we are going to purchase an abandoned hotel that was about to be torn down, and with our own labors, we're going to convert it into an affordable housing community for this congregation. They faced one of the most traumatic moments that any congregation can face, the possibility of ending, closing, and dying. And instead, they bought that, and it revitalized the congregation. And to this day, it is a significant and substantial congregation. The story of Jesus walking on water is perhaps more about the kinds of things that the church is facing or not facing than it is about individual faith, or it is even about miracles. It's about finding the body of Christ in the middle of storms. It's about finding the body of Christ in hurricanes and wondering, how in the world are we ever going to get to safety? How are we going to get to shore with this hurricane whipping around us? Neighborhoods change, demographics change, needs change, but the church is quite often the last to respond to changes, and that becomes the storm that threatens its very life. I had a colleague, and was also a very good friend of mine, who served a congregation as pastor for a long time. He was in that pastorate nearly 20 years. He was well established within the community. People knew him, people turned to him. He was a giving pastor through that position. He was loved by the congregation. But the congregation began to stir, and they began to mumble about the need for another pastor, a new pastor, a pastor with newer ideas, a pastor who can meet what they need now. He confessed to me that the congregation did indeed need a new pastor. And when he said that, I asked him, what are you going to do? I expected he was going to tell me he was getting his profile ready to circulate. His answer was different than I expected. He said, well, I think I'm going to become a new pastor to that congregation. And that is exactly what happened. He remolded and remodeled himself. He did that to fit the new needs of the congregation and their life that they had at that moment. He shed the model that congregation needed 20 years earlier, and he remade himself. Anna Carter Florence is an associate professor of preaching at Columbia Theological Seminary in Georgia. And she tells of a friend who interviewed with a congregation that was fiercely deliberating between two qualified candidates for the position of senior pastor. The congregation finally chose her friend and offered the call, and the person accepted it. Now, a member of the search committee pushing for the other candidate said to the new called pastor, buddy, you'd better be able to walk on water. Within a few months, the formerly unconvinced search committee member approached the new pastor and said, "Do you remember when I said you'd better be able to walk on water?" "Yes, I do," he said. "Well, I think you do." Carter then tells the rest of the story. She said, "I think that's one of the reasons my friend didn't last long in that ministry, is that he started to believe her." He started to believe that he should walk on water, and it did him in. Attempting to walk on water is dangerous, not only because it can't be done, but also because it has absolutely no point, no relevance within the point of the story. It's truly not about Peter or walking on water. It's not about him any more than he is part of the church, I should say. It's about Jesus' commitment to us. Even when the most frightening of storms approach and batter our little boat, when the church is facing hurricanes, those awful storms, who is it that comes to us? When the church is facing big decisions that could be life and death, who is it that comes to us? The story of how we have someone, Jesus, that is, who comes to us through ice, rain, snow, tornadoes, hurricanes, and every single time we are scared out of our wits and near death, he comes to us. It's about the times when we are convinced that the sky is about to fall on us and crush us that he comes to us. It's about the times when we must choose between doing what we know is right or must be done, and when we have the option of choosing other standards which are not right. The question is simple. Church, what are you going to do? Will you stay inside and seek the comfort when you face the storm? This is a story about faithfulness of Jesus coming to us when we're the most terrified. These are the words of Jesus in another part when he said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." This is not a story about how faithful Peter was. It is not a story about how faithful any one of us is. It's a story about how faithful Jesus is to us. We are the church. And we are not expected to become a shelter from the storm. We are expected to be the boat that charges into the storm. Regardless of what you believe or don't believe about Jesus, then at least recognize this. Not only the story we heard today, but in every story we hear about him, he is always in the middle of a storm, being faithful to us. If you want to find him, your best chance of doing that is by heading right into the storm, right into the middle of the storm, because that's where he lives. Amen. Our next hymn for this day is found on page 200. The title is "To Bless the Earth." If you want to or are able to, you're invited to stand for this singing. Thank you, and please be seated. We're about to enter a time of prayer, our personal prayer, and it's appropriate that we care for the little ones at the right time. We invite you now to express your joys and your concerns, should you have any, voice them aloud, so the rest of us can also either know about them or include them in our prayers in a few moments. So I invite you, please share your joys or concerns. Mary Jane? Your daughter at Mayo? Okay. Thank you for telling us that. Allison?
The fortune of my niece, who just gave her the twins, and Nico, and baby Rita.
Oh, goodness.
We should celebrate and consider
that. Twins? She's going to be busy. Others? Madame? Okay, that's... For those who've not been able to hear, that the Stackhouse's daughter and son-in-law leave tomorrow for South Africa, where they are going to be spending, I think, at least a year, if I remember correctly, and attending to the children, especially many of the children who are HIV positive and without parents in South Africa. And some of you have contributed to that, and gratefulness for that. But I think that, did I give all the information? The Mission in Action people have also provided resources. Thank you.
I just learned yesterday that my former sister-in-law has been experiencing recurrent breast cancer.
Okay. Thank you for that. Cindy? Yes. Thank you.
I'd just like to hold Nancy Wilcox in our prayer. She's our church secretary, and her mother just passed away.
For Nancy Wilcox and the grief that she goes through for the death of her mother. Others?
When my wife told me last Monday,
good. Thank you. And Jean, I sure wish I could borrow your voice. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Could you just try it again? Okay, good. Thank you. We have heard many needs, maybe more today than we usually do. That means we need to include more people in our prayers. During these next few moments, let us have a time of silence when each one of us can offer our prayer and include what we've heard as well as what you must share with God. Let us be in a time of silence. God, we bring to you that which is in the deepest part, in the recesses of our lives, our minds, our hearts, our hopes, and our fears. We know that you attend to each one of our requests, each one of our beckonings, and we know that you too live within us and what we face. Our prayers today are for the friends and family among us whose families and friends are facing difficult moments in life, for those who are facing life-threatening illnesses and disease, and for the fears and the anxieties that that creates. We ask for your holy presence and comfort. For those who know joy of new life, for those who know the joy of giving themselves to the children of this world, and for the hope that those children bring to each one of us, we express our deepest gratefulness. For God, every time we hear the voice of a child, whenever we hear a baby cry, we are reminded of your unending commitment to this world and to your hope and what you are building toward. God, we give you thanks for the saints who have gone before us, for those who have given selflessly to each other, to the church, to the world, for those whose lives continue to make a difference, some in large ways and others in important but not as large, but all important to you. We give you thanks for Jack Fitzpatrick and his family, and for all the gifts that they have brought to this community and world. But we also give you thanks for the people who are gathered among us today, for among us are many who have given selflessly of themselves through time and living and gifts. And for each one of the gifts and each one of the people, we express our deepest gratitude, and we know that you too smile with pleasure, knowing that we as a community of faith work together to build your world. God, we pray for those who are involved in war and turmoil, for those who are facing starvation and water that is unacceptable for health. We ask you to be a presence in this world so that peace and justice will reign and it will flow like living waters. God, help us to be part of that. We are grateful that you are our God, and that you lead us into paths of holiness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen. There was a dentist in Colorado who moved into a new house, and he soon discovered that there were some unruly teenagers that lived in the neighborhood, and these unruly teenagers did things like litter his yard and rode their bicycles through it and made life kind of miserable for the man. He found it a little difficult to love thy neighbor. One night, the ringleader of the group had a terrible, terrible toothache, and his mother asked the dentist to examine him. The dentist offered to extract the tooth, but the boy refused, saying that he could not pay the bill. But after a great deal of persuasion, the boy finally agreed. The dentist did not send the bill, and actually he forgot the incident. Weeks later, he went on a long one-month vacation when he came back to find that his lawn had been well cared for by the teenager. When the dentist tried to pay him, he refused money. The boy did simply by commenting and saying, "A tooth for a tooth." It's interesting how that passage of Hebrew justice can become a statement of Christian stewardship. God has been good to us. Now it's our turn. I invite the ushers to come forward for a collection of this morning's offering.
People, rend your hearts.
God, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and a gift for a gift. You have been kind to us. May we in turn be kind to you and each other. We give you thanks that we can give as we have. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you to join your voice with the rest of our voices in the reading of our prayer of confession. God of mercy, as we gather to celebrate your gift of love, we recall with sorrow the times when we forget you are we are divided from one another. How often our thoughts, our words, and our actions have betrayed the goodness you have shown to us. Forgive us, merciful God. Mend what is broken. Heal the wounded relationships that separate us from you and one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are a forgiven people. It is the point of a loving God. Know that each one of us, regardless of anything else, are a forgiven people. Will you stand and join your voice with the rest of us in singing the Gloria? God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High. Jesus said, let us pray. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread and fruit of the vine. Let us join our voices together in our communion hymn. the body of Christ, let us eat it as a community and united in faith. The blood of Christ, let us drink it together. Please join with me in our prayer of thanksgiving. We have received from your hand, O God, bread from the earth to fortify our hearts and wine to gladden our spirits. May these signs of Christ's presence fill our lives with such gratitude that we are impelled to spread the joy wherever we go. Amen. I invite you to bring your gifts of food and resources on this Sunday of Thanksgiving. And now may the peace of God be with you today, tomorrow, and every day. Go from here knowing there will be storms, but if we charge into them, we go knowing that we go with the love that will not bend and will not end. You are greatly loved. Amen.